Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by old people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
Well, that's right. You're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR 855 AM. My name is Shane, and I'm here in the studio with Liz. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Shane?
Doing okay. Sadly, our other co-host Fiona, well, not sadly, our other co-host Fiona is on holiday at the moment.
I think she's probably happy about it.
And I think she probably is. But we do have Fiona virtually with us, as it were.
Which is great because we miss you, Fiona, so come back soon.
So today we're going to hear an interview that Fiona gave to 3CR's Thursday Breakfast program. Priya talked to Fiona about a report that a student named Francisca at HAG did about the experience of elder abuse amongst our clients and how we can sort of better serve them and how it intersects with their housing issues. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much about what they're going to talk about. We're just going to hear an interview. Shall we go to it now?
Yeah, let's go to it now.
Now we are joined for our next conversation by Fiona York, who is the Executive Officer of Housing for the Aged Action Group, who's going to be speaking with us about HAG's report, Housing and Elder Abuse, HAG Clients Experiences 2020 to 2024, which explores the experiences of older people facing housing insecurity to better understand the relationship between precarious housing and elder abuse. Now, this report was released to coincide with World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, which falls on the 15th of June. If you do need assistance with housing and you're 50 years or older, live in Victoria and have a low income and low assets, remember you can contact HAG's Home at Last line for support on 1300 765 178. That is 1300 765 178. And I also wanted to add a content note that this interview is going to include discussion of elder abuse. So for support, listeners can call Seniors Rights Victoria on 1300 368 821 and also 1-800-RESPECT, the National Domestic Family and Sexual Violence Counseling Information and Support Service, on 1-800-737-732. And also to be put in contact with non-emergency support in your state, you can always call 1-800-ELDER-HELP. That's 1-800-353-374. Now, good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Priya.
Thanks very much for joining us. I wanted to begin by, I guess, grounding the discussion in how Housing for the Aged Action Group defines elder abuse, because, the term can be used colloquially to capture a bunch of different things. But I think actually pinning it down to contextualize the conversation will be really helpful.
Yeah, so the definition that we used for this report comes from the World Health Organization. And the important elements of that is that it's any type of harm or mistreatment that occurs for an older person within a relationship of trust. So it's usually family members. Often we hear the term elder abuse used in the context of, say, mistreatment by aged care workers in a residential aged care facility or bullying by managers in retirement housing. But that's not the way that we're using the term. We're really talking about things like emotional abuse, financial abuse, physical abuse that occurs within the family. Mm. And the key difference, I think, between elder abuse and other types of family violence is that elder abuse is really driven by ageism and assumptions of older people's capacity to make their own decisions. And children are usually doing harm, whereas in more traditional understandings of family violence, which is driven by gender inequality, it's often intimate partner violence. So it's quite a big difference in the way it manifests for older people, and older women are disproportionately impacted by elder abuse, but also so older men, and sometimes the perpetrators are adult daughters and daughters-in-law as well. So it's more about ageism than gender when it gets to older age.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing to emphasize. And I think this report also really highlights some of the hidden violences that come up through the squeeze on the housing system and its impact on older people. And so I understand that this report was developed on the basis of data that's drawn from client records and case notes from HAG's Home at Last service. And
yeah.
I was wondering what prompted that decision to actually engage in a systematic analysis of the relationship between housing insecurity and elder abuse. Is this something that had been coming up as a trend for a while that you then decided you wanted to dedicate some time to investigating?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've known about this issue for a while. Obviously, people that call our Home at Last helpline are calling us because of housing insecurity, and a lot of the time the driver is the cost of housing. But there's also often underlying issues around tensions within the family or mistreatment within the family. And we wanted to do a deep dive into our client data to really unpack some of this work. We've been wanting to do it for a really long time, and we were lucky enough to have a student on placement that was really interested in this topic as well. So we put her to the task, and she went through our client records over a period of 5 years and looked at all of the case files that have been flagged, either elder abuse or family violence, and had a look to see what was going on there.
Mm. And can you take us through some of the most significant findings in the report? And here I'm really interested in hearing about how these were differentiated across population demographics, but also across housing tenure type or level of housing insecurity that people were experiencing.
Yeah, this was really interesting. So the age in which people were experiencing abuse was quite broad. It was between 60 and 90 years of age. So I think there's a perception in the broader elder abuse discussion that it happens in older age, so people in their 80s are more vulnerable. But what we found is that basically anybody of any age could experience elder abuse. As I mentioned, there was about 75% of the clients were women and about 25% were men. And we did have quite a high proportion of culturally and linguistically diverse clients who were experiencing elder abuse. That's not unusual, I don't think, because our proportion of calls clients is already quite high. We consistently have around 60% calls clients. But significantly, a lot of them had very low levels of English, and they relied on their adult children and on other people to navigate the system and to get assistance. So that placed an additional layer of vulnerability on those old people. In terms of the housing conditions, the most significant thing that we found was that, yes, lots of people were in expensive private rental, which was obviously placing a big financial pressure on them. There were also a lot of people that were experiencing homelessness, and this included things like moving between the homes of their adult children, so sleeping on the couch at a daughter's place 1 week and then moving to the son's the next week, which, of course, is, you know, a very insecure and vulnerable situation. We also found that people are experiencing elder abuse in public and community housing as well. So it's not just about housing prices, but of course that's a big factor. But the most significant thing was that just about all of them were living with the person that was causing them harm. So 2/3 of them were currently living with the person that was causing them harm, and 1/3 of them had been living with them recently. So it's really about living with the person that's causing the issue and not really having any options of where to go and how to get out of that situation.
Yeah, I think it is really, distressing but significant to hear about the situations that older people are forced to be in just to try and retain some form of housing security, just to get a roof over their head. And I know that this happens to people across all ages, but of course, when it is combined with that ageism that you described, there is a real level of vulnerability there. And I wanted to ask about the prevalence of self-identification of elder abuse and some of the issues that you've seen in terms of older people actually explicitly identifying having experienced abuse and the impacts that this identification or lack thereof might have on the way that they then navigate their housing situation.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Only three of the clients that we looked at actually used the term elder abuse. So it's not a term that is used commonly, and it's also not a term that translates very well into languages other than English. So it has a whole bunch of connotations. And so what we found was that it was through the conversation and the very sensitive kind of questioning by the very skilled intake workers that we have at HAG were able to tease out how the mistreatment or how the family conflict was manifesting. And, of course, that's a big issue for older people that are fronting up at services. If they don't name the issue, it may not be obvious, and then they may not be able to get the support they need. And the other really significant thing is the level of shame and stigma that occurs when you're having to talk about your family members, your son, your daughter, mistreating you. And people, of course, want to be able to say good things about their kids, and they want to be able to say that they're doing okay. There's an expectation that your kids are going to look after you when you get older, particularly in some cold communities. But if that's not the case, it's a really awful thing to have to talk about. And so that stigma as well, and that just deep shame that people have, means that they don't necessarily immediately disclose it.
I'm just really, really struck by how challenging it must be for older people to, to sort of recognize both to themselves, but, you know, acknowledge to a stranger, to an intake worker as well, that, you know, not only am I experiencing extreme housing insecurity and I need help, but I'm navigating these incredibly difficult family and interpersonal relationships, and I'm, you know, experiencing harm that is related to the fact that I, you know, don't have a sense of agency over my housing.
That's right, yeah, and things aren't okay, and where do you go? And one of the things that's really striking is that people want the housing resolved first and foremost. They want to have safe housing for themselves, and they want to have safe housing for their kids. That's the number one priority. They definitely don't want to go to the police, for example. They often don't want to get their kids in trouble, but they just want to get safe housing, and that's why we need more housing. So there's a pathway out of this type of situation for people.
Yeah, and I guess on that, what are some of the key changes that HAG would like to see in the housing and aged care and also healthcare systems? I guess when I say aged care, I sort of mean the broader provision of support and services for older people at both the state and federal levels to address some of these issues?
Yeah, so the first thing that we call for, which is what we always call for, is that we need more investment in public housing. We need to have a pathway out of elder abuse situations or even overcrowding and financial pressures that might lead to mistreatment. So we need more housing for older people, and we need more housing for their kids. And one of the things that we did notice during COVID was that people were moving back in with their kids, or the kids were moving back in with the parents because of the housing costs. And so without that massive increase in public housing, we're still going to be seeing this stuff, because the private rental market is no place to be getting old. But then more broadly, we need to have a conversation around what does mistreatment mean, and we need to be raising awareness of the types of drivers of elder abuse. So assumptions about people's age and their capacity as they get older, and I guess negative assumptions around ageing, we need to challenge those in order to be able to have people be recognised that they do have agency and they are able to make their own decisions. And, you know, your mum's bank card isn't your money. this is the sort of thing that happens quite a lot, is that people think that an older person doesn't have the capacity to make decisions and that their adult children are doing that. So that's a real underlying kind of societal-wide thing. But we also need culturally responsive and appropriate community education, because we do see it in cold communities where there's an expectation that your kids will look after you, and we do know that elder abuse doesn't translate particularly well. So we need to be looking at that too. And then I guess in terms of how the system works, we really need family violence agencies to understand how elder abuse is a little bit different to traditional family violence, and to be able to recognise that and have all services and all people that are interacting with older people on the lookout for signs of mistreatment and signs of things not being quite right at home, and making sure that when someone does disclose that they are receiving that support, because they may not say it again to anyone else. And so, it's really important for workers to be able to recognise that.
Yeah, and I think there's that really challenging piece around self-identification or, you know, self-description of these concerns. Do you have any thoughts about, you know, how to improve people's, I guess, it's not necessarily literacy about their situation. They know that what they're going through is difficult, but, confidence to disclose.
Yeah, I think it's really tough. I think people, I mean, terms like mistreatment or feeling unsafe at home or not being able to make your own decisions or see your friends or even make phone calls and all those sorts of things, they're signs of psychological or social abuse. If you have someone that's opening your mail or saying that you can't have friends over, or it might not feel like abuse, but it's that kind of disrespect and mistreatment and lack of agency that can escalate, and it can mean that a person doesn't feel comfortable in their own home. So it's about those sort of recognising those signs, and for younger people to be thinking about older people as people that do have the capacity to make decisions and should be in control of their own lives, and you don't need to take over and do everything for them. They can look after themselves and make their own decisions. So it's about all ages, I think, addressing those assumptions that we make about older people.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And finally, Fiona, I know that HAG has a show on 3CR and that Radiothon is ongoing. So I was wondering if you wanted to say anything about that before we let you go.
Yeah, so our show is called Raise the Roof, and it's on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30. And yes, we have Radiothon at the moment. And I did want to say to any listener that hasn't donated to Radiothon, This opportunity for me to be able to really unpack some of the detailed work on Thursday Breakfast is so unique and so valuable. We put out a media release about this report on Friday, and the ABC picked it up and ran one line of an interview that I did. And that just does not, it's great to raise awareness, but it's not allowing us to really have that discussion on an in-depth level. So without 3CR, we just don't get the opportunity to speak about these issues. So much appreciated to you, Priya, and Thursday Breakfast, and also to the 3CR community for allowing us this space to talk about these issues.
Thanks so much, Fiona, and, you know, always appreciative of your work and, of course, your long-standing contribution to the 3CR community.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one. And that was Fiona York, Executive Officer of Housing for the Aged Action Group, who joined us to talk about HAG's report, Housing and Elder Abuse, HAG Clients Experiences 2020 to 2024, which explores the experiences of older people facing housing insecurity to better understand the relationship between precarious housing and elder abuse. Now, if you do need assistance with housing and you're 50 years or older, you live in Victoria and you have a low income and low assets, you can contact HAG's Home at Last line for support on 1300 765 178. And again, this interview did include discussion of elder abuse, which may be distressing to some listeners. So for support, you can call Seniors Rights Victoria on 1300 368 821. And 1-800-RESPECT, the National Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence Counselling Information and Support Service on 1-800-737-732. And to be put in contact with non-emergency support in your state, you can call 1-800-ELDER-HELP. That is 1-800-353-374.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, the voice of the community.
3CR, community radio, giving the voice to the community since 1976.
3CR programs provide information and analysis you won't hear in the mainstream.
Today we'll be looking at the legacy of the US war on Vietnam on Laos.
And as far as corporate capitalism is concerned, it is the worst political and economic system that you can have.
Our laws about jailing refugees and asylum seekers are so well crafted.
Sex is not irrelevant, and we like who we are, but we don't have to be imprisoned by our gender.
Become a subscriber today. Call us on 9419 8377 or visit 3cr.org.au. 3CR, the voice of dissent.
So you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show on 3CR with 8:55 AM with Shane and Liz. And we're joined now also by Rebecca from HAG. How are you doing, Rebecca?
I'm good. How are you, Shane and Liz?
Pretty good, thank you.
Better than you. I heard your washing machine is all bung.
Thanks for telling everyone, Shane.
Sorry, I didn't realise it was a secret.
It's not a secret.
So we haven't brought you on to talk about your washing machine. We have brought you on to talk about Open House Melbourne. So can you tell the listeners, what is Open House Melbourne and what is HAG doing for it?
Okay, so Open House Melbourne is an initiative that the City of Melbourne runs. And so they engage lots of, I guess, buildings around the city that aren't generally open to the public. And for, I think it's actually going on for a week this time. No, it used to be just for the day. But people can look up buildings on the City of Melbourne website and consider where they want to visit. So the Ross House building that HAG is located in is open this Saturday. And HAG is having an exhibition as part of that. So from between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m, you can come into the Ross House building, come up to where HAG's offices are on level one, and we have set up our meeting room space with just a small sample of HAG's activist history. So trying to give a little bit of a timeline of things that HAG's achieved over the last 40 years, the role that some of our members and staff have played in that. Just a good opportunity to learn a little bit more about HAG, and we'd actually really love to encourage more people to become members.
And Beck, the activist history of HAG is really significant, isn't it?
So yeah, it's really rich.
And because HAG really grew out of community support, community activism, people taking grassroots action for renters' rights and for the housing rights of older people. It's always been a strong, even today, the working groups that HAG has influence the policy direction of the organisation and the advocacy to the government and things like that. So will the exhibition address some of those and kind of show a little bit about what's happened historically with that?
It does. I think at HAG's core, tenants and older people are at the absolute heart of our history. We know that, you know, HAG as a group evolved when there were tenants down in the Western Port area where there was just a lack of housing, particularly public housing, and so they decided to form this action group and to find more housing. And so our organisation kind of grew in strength from there. And, at you know, as I mentioned, at its core, it's always had older people at the heart of that. And in fact, chatting to Bernie Duff recently, he really wanted to make it clear how much the tenants and older people have been the drivers behind our advocacy and the work that we do. And I think that is still true today with the working groups that we have and the level of participation that we do have of our older members in terms of the activist work and advocacy that we do.
That's awesome. And there's some great 80s activist photos as part of the display, which I really liked.
There is. It's one of those things where I wish I had more time to do a deep dive into our history and to display everything to the degree that it's worth. I think to be honest, to some degrees, I'm probably skimming the surface with what we have on display, but I do think we've captured a bit of a snapshot of HAG's history, and I think those elements around our reports, our submissions, the rallies, the advocacy, some of the key people that have been involved in creating who HAG is today, you know, we've got that on display. Likely we can't, you know, we can't include everyone and every aspect of what HAG's achieved, but it is really nice to kind of reflect on our organisation and how much it has done in the last 40 years.
And you said it's on from, what, 10 till 2, Saturday and Sunday this week?
Just Saturday, actually.
Just Saturday. Okay, sorry, yeah. My mistake.
Don't have me at work on Sunday, Shane.
Oh, fair enough. What's the address if people do want to check it out?
Yes, so we're in the Ross House building in the city, so that's 247 to 251 Flinders Lane. You can combine it with going to one of the many cafes close to the area too.
And there's also
and also I should say in the Ross House building, because we are co-located with a whole range of other community organisations, there's lots of other events and workshops that will be running in the building on the day. So if people want to understand what's happening, you can actually go. Ross House has created a pop-up website. So that's www.rhopendaywi2025.site.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much, Rebecca.
That's okay. Hopefully I'll get to see some people on Saturday coming to check out Hags History.
Sounds good.
Good luck with your washing machine, Beck.
Thanks, Liz.
All right.
All right.
See you later. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We're just about out of time for this week, so we're going to give you some contact information. You might have already heard this on the interview we played earlier, but if you want to get in touch with HAG because you are an older person in Victoria, want to talk about a housing issue, the best number to call is 1300 765 178. That's 1300 765 178. If you're wanting to get in touch because you're more interested in that sort of side of things about the activist history of the organisation, you want to come along to Open House Melbourne and you want to check some of the details, or you want to get involved in the working groups or other sort of membership type stuff, the best number to call is 03 9654 7389. That's 03 9654 7389. You can also check out our website, which is oldertenants.org.au. You can find us on various social media platforms. I'm not quite sure which ones these days, but some of them certainly. And I hope that you've enjoyed this week. Are we ready to put a song on?
Yeah, we're ready to put a song on. So we're going to hear from Lucinda Williams, who excitingly is touring Australia very soon. Is playing a show with Paul Kelly, and we're going to hear a live version of the song called Change the Locks, and this was recorded in Australia.